Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
Happy Take Your Kid to Work Day.
I know, right? Or Take Your Grade 9 Kid to Work Day.
Yeah. Hello, Kaden.
Hey, yeah. Matthew.
Hello.
Welcome.
That's right. Better here in the studio than out on the trails in the pouring rain.
Yes.
Yep.
Which was an option.
Yep.
Which I denied instantly.
Yeah. But it's exciting that you got out of bed for this.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Yeah, I know. So today, it's a very applicable topic because we've got a multi-generational team here. We are talking about cult classics.
That's right.
Yeah.
And just coming off the end of the Halloween season and the Rocky Horror Picture Show every year.
Every year. Well, in some cities it plays every day.
Wow.
All year long.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was very exciting. I talked to Salmar Board of Director Representative Patty Monroe about the turnout for Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes, and the verdict is?
Verdict is it was a very well-attended event.
Wow.
But she did notice something very interesting. There's definitely two groups.
Yes.
So the older generation that dressed up, brought all the props, knew exactly what to do, knew when to shout, knew when to sing, knew when to dance.
Yes.
And then the younger generation that knew to dress up, but didn't know what to do.
Wow.
Didn't have all the cues and the words.
Oh, isn't that cool? So they're learning. Well, how else do you learn?
I guess.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful, right? You go to Rocky Horror Picture Show, you don't want to be considered a virgin.
Oh, I see.
Because you get treated differently if you're a virgin.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. So you have to pretend that you've been there before.
Oh, I see.
So it's better to study up first.
I see.
Dress up, blend in, know a few words, know a few actions, know when to throw the toast and all that. And then you won't
when to throw the toast.
Yeah.
We're such strange beings.
We are strange creatures.
But we like to connect with rituals. I mean, that's what it is.
It ultimately is.
Why do we carve pumpkins? Why do we put up dead trees and decorate them?
Yeah.
You know, like, why? Why do we do these things?
I think that ritual is just an important part of our connection to our culture.
Yes.
It's a connection to our family.
Yes.
Because we have these things in common.
Yes.
Connection to our neighbors. Mm-hmm. We actually feel like, we're building community when we do things like this.
Right. And we have things in common.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the basis of most relationships.
How we live together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Culture.
Well, there.
Ba-doom boom.
Show done.
All right. See? That was easy.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. So we were going to talk about a few, in case the word cult classic is, what do they mean by that? We were just going to talk about a few.
Yeah.
So what would you consider the...
Well, of course, I would like to save this for the very end because we probably have the most to talk about it. But I would think that Monty Python movies, especially Monty Python and the Holy Grail, has become a cult classic.
Yes.
And so one of the things that we know about cult classics is that it spans generations.
Mm-hmm. So like my parents know about it. We know about it. Our kids know about it.
Yeah. And not just know about it, but love it.
Love it and refer back to it all the time.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
Yes.
And I just wanted to point out, so even last night, because I wasn't even thinking about this, and then last night we made a comment about having to, plant a couple of shrubs in our yard before winter sets in. And my daughter, my 14, almost 15-year-old daughter said, "That I'll call John the Shrubber." So, I mean, it's just there.
It is.
It's in our lexicon. It's in our brains. It's part of our language and part of our lives, part of how we reference. I think it's pretty funny.
Totally. And we're letting each other know that we understand where they're coming from.
Yeah. And maybe that's actually part of the connection is that we're sort of like, it's like the private joke.
Yes.
Right? It makes us feel like, ha ha.
Inside baseball.
We have something special going on.
Yes.
It's an inside joke that everyone gets.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it is an exclusionary, right? It doesn't leave anybody out necessarily. Yeah.
But like when somebody says, "I have three questions for you." What's the first thing you think of, Matthew?
Do I even have to answer that?
Yeah.
What is your name?
What is your name?
What is your favorite color?
No, it's what is your quest, then what is your favorite color?
Oh, right, okay.
Then most people get thrown
blue.
Off the bridge.
No red.
Blue. Somebody
no,
has one
yellow.
Of those. What are they called? I
forget.
Yes. No, he remembers everything. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I don't even know that word. Sorry. Not photographic, obviously.
No, but...
Okay.
There's so much stuff in that brain. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, it's that prefrontal cortex going crazy, rewiring itself every minute of every day.
Yes.
Yeah. And so
a whole library of cult culture, cult classics in there.
Yeah. And we have to be careful with the word cult. I think that the word cult is just short for culture.
Yes.
Not as in...
Oh, I never thought about that before.
Yeah. Because I thought about the word itself thinking, well, that's a weird, because cult implies that it's a gathering of people that are all members and it's very private and very, exclusionary.
Yes.
But in this particular case,
and dangerous,
it's so
and
not.
Mind, they take over mind control. When I think of cult, I think of mind control.
Yeah. And so I feel like, wow, this is almost like the opposite of cult. So maybe
there's
it just means cultural.
Cults. I mean, there's hockey cults and religious cults and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it makes more of a reference to that, to culture. Okay, so the whole thing about the generational span is important. Another element of what makes a cult classic is so bad it's good.
It's so bad it's good. It's funny because under the definition it says a misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular thing or person.
That's cult definition?
Yeah, so bad, misplaced, or excessive, it's good.
Yeah,
a lot of so bad it's good.
Yeah, and that's why... Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yes.
Right? And
The Fog.
Yes. The Thing.
The Thing.
I guess The Thing was actually not too bad. It was a horror movie and it was pretty good at its time, but looking back on it, it's hilarious.
Or The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently Scream. Scream
which
is...
Which I never saw.
Yeah. Well, no. It refers to a lot of horror films before it. And so that's another aspect to cult classics. What makes a cult classic is being self-referential.
It refers back to
it
refers back to the genre.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And it kind of, I mean, it's like a whole lot of inside jokes that mm-hmm. only people who are familiar with the genre would get. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a trick, I suppose, right? Like to kind of make you think you're part of a group, part of an inside club.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be scary or evil.
No.
Some of it is quite fun.
Oh, totally.
Right.
Well, I think Rocky Horror Picture Show is so much fun to watch. Like, it's just, it is a bit risque, and it was a big decision to let my kids watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to work them up to it, right? We had to start with The Breakfast Club, at the age of 13.
Oh, also cult classic.
Yep.
Have you seen The Breakfast Club, Matthew?
I have not.
Oh.
Is it good?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's very good.
It's important.
It's kind of teen angst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a gateway film into mm-hmm. where you have to deal with swearing and sexual references as teenagers. And so
wait,
it's kind of
the gateway film.
Well, it is, I thought, because it's not too horrendous.
Yes.
It's a bit gentler, but it's still very much about teen angst. Mm-hmm. So then you move into things like Wayne's World, Austin Powers, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. where there's awkwardness,
mm-hmm.
but also lots of, sort of bathroom jokes
and
stuff.
And it's ironic because I think as a teen, I would have been horrified to watch those movies with my parents.
Yeah.
But now that I'm a parent, I feel like I can relate better to my teenagers because I know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Even if I wouldn't make, I don't think I could watch, say, Fast Times at Ridgemont High with my kids because it would be awkward for me.
Yeah, it was awkward.
I think watching Family Guy is awkward.
Family Guy's definitely awkward.
Why?
And yet, that's what teenagers watch.
I know.
And there's so many cultural references.
Yeah.
Like...
Well, and that's the other thing too, right? They're all referencing each other.
Yes.
So when you, like, that's one of the reasons why we wanted the kids to watch Monty Python.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just hear it in our world all the time.
All
I'm
the
thinking,
time.
You need to know this because it's kind of part of your culture.
But it's funny, Monty Python, to me, doesn't have the risque awkwardness. It's just funny.
Yeah, except for The Meaning of Life.
Okay.
I thought that was, the kids had a hard time with that
did they?
A bit.
Oh,
yeah, every sperm is
sacred. Yes, yes.
That kind of thing. So that was another gateway, right?
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about like the TV show. The
Dead Parrot. Oh, no, that was totally,
I'm
that
here
was
for an argument.
Fun.
No, you're not. Yeah. Yes, you are. Yeah. I know. There's nothing like if you can invite someone to your parties who can quote Monty Python, that's a guaranteed win.
Then you've
win.
Success. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guaranteed win.
And, there's lots
you win
of,
the party.
And then there's cult, not just movies, there's also cult books and
mm-hmm.
and even I would say with Netflix cult TV shows cult radio shows
it's like, true and so they don't get referred to like that they're called classics right? Like the books that are like the cult classics are just called classics like To Kill a Mockingbird
absolutely
that would be considered.
Or Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy
or
1984 see yay they know Harry Potter I guess
mm-hmm. yeah Well, that's another whole different genre sort of the new classic right the new cult classic because it hasn't had a chance yet to prove itself by being multi-generational, yeah. right? You need another 20 years before you can really tell
totally.
If something's going to be
yeah.
a cult classic.
And as it kind of moves up the chain, it might start as a book or it might start as a cartoon and then it's a book
yeah.
and then it's a TV show and then it's a mm-hmm. a movie. You know, like if we think about Star Trek,
yeah,
that was a TV show first.
Yeah. yeah.
Right.
And that is definitely a cult classic because you have not just the reboot that is happening now, mm-hmm. right? Like the whole Chris Pine phenomenon, but you've got people actually watching the original series.
Yeah.
now yeah. that we're 50 years in.
What was the one Tales from the
Crypt?
No. Ray Bradbury, same guy who did Star Wars. I'll find it on the break.
Isn't it Tales from the Crypt?
And it was black and white and it was kind of spooky and...
Like Twilight Zone?
Twilight Zone. Thank you. Thank you. That was it. Have you ever seen Twilight Zone, Matthew?
I have not.
You have not seen.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm sorry, but you have not entered adulthood or anything close to it until you've seen Twilight Zone.
Are you sure about that?
It's so freaky. It is really, like, it is so mind-twisting.
Mm-hmm. Mind-boggling.
And it is also...
Black and white and... The footage and the use of light, and it's really, it's
filmmaking,
it's art.
Yes, it is. Filmmaking at its best, and it's also, you know, it doesn't rely on gore, shock, you know, any of those things that the sort of new horror genres rely on.
Yeah.
It is simply good storytelling.
Sure. And, you know, that's the thing that, you know, underlying all of this is the themes you learn in English lit, you know, man's inhumanity to man, man's humanity to man.
Yeah.
Right? Overcoming, being sort of deputized as a hero because you were bit by a spider or some random thing, right?
Yeah.
And that you're chosen, the idea that you're chosen to.
There's so many, isn't there?
These are the myths of, like, these fundamental myths of storytelling through time, you know, going back to...
Being the chosen one.
Yes.
Is yeah.
Well, all the big stories are about the chosen one.
Yeah.
Right?
Well.
The Bible. Indiana Jones.
Because
Doctor Who? How
really
did Doctor Who get chosen? Do we know that?
Do I have to explain this?
Yes,
the TARDIS stole him.
No, he stole a TARDIS.
No, the TARDIS stole him.
Oh.
Well, that's sort of what he says. That's not really how it is, though.
But we don't
He's
really
part
know.
Of a when race, she... there was a war, he ran away, he stole a TARDIS, then he dies and is born again in a new body with new memories, but sort of the same old memories, but it's weird.
But he's chosen.
Yeah. No, he's not.
He's not chosen?
He's not.
He just woke up
special.
One day and said, I'm going to...
He's special, though. Yeah. Because now he's... I mean, well, for a while, he was the last one.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, there's reasons for him to be special, and then that sort of makes him
and then,
the chosen
you know,
one.
He's
but if
the
you
last
think
Time
about,
Lord.
You know, not to minimize importance of communities of faith, but Jesus Christ was chosen,
mm-hmm.
right? Buddha... Like, if you look through religion, you know, world religions, it's always this idea of the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you put that lens on popular culture, Harry Potter was chosen,
mm-hmm.
right?
Green.
Yep. And Frodo was chosen.
Yes.
And all of these.
And Star Wars, Anakin was chosen.
Yeah. So, we all want to be special.
That's
right?
True.
We all want somebody to pull us out of school one day and say, guess what? You don't have to go to school anymore because you're a wizard.
I used to have those illusions when I was little that there was some mix-up and I was actually a Scottish princess. It was just a matter of time till someone came to get me to fulfill my destiny. But
you're crazy.
Didn't work out. I keep thinking.
Maybe
I'll
someday,
get, maybe someone will
just
email me.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean,
oh my gosh, Louise, we were told I misplaced you as a baby.
Well, because that's the myth in our house, right? The Wallaces are
you're royalty.
Yeah,
very nice. Peasants. Today on Artscape, we're talking about the cult classic.
The cult classic.
Yes.
Which doesn't necessarily have to be good to be a classic.
No. Yeah. Well, just like going back to the so bad it's good idea.
Yeah.
So apparently there was one called what was the name of it? It had Bela Lugosi in it.
Yes.
And he died halfway through filming.
Oh my gosh.
And they replaced the actor with somebody who was taller.
Oh.
So, oops. I mean, and then apparently during the film, it's obvious. You can see the actors reading from their scripts.
Oh gosh.
Like, it's just literally so bad it's good, right? Like, it's fun to watch because of the badness.
It's so bad.
Yeah. I hate when they do that.
Do you hate when they do that?
Yeah.
But we like to watch bad things. Yeah. Like, not bad as in evil, but bad as in poorly executed.
Plan 9 from Outer Space. Yeah, that's what it was called, 1959.
Plan 9.
Yeah. So, yeah, just, I mean, these things are fun to watch because you can point out all of the horrific, or not horrific, all of the crazy, you know, I guess the elements of filmmaking that, I don't know.
So what is that?
We never get to see the inside joke again, right?
I know, but why is that? Why do we like to watch? Why do we spend our time watching poorly done things?
Because it's funny.
Because it's funny.
To see how terrible it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like being there, maybe, right? Yeah. Like being part of it.
Yeah. Or does it just keep us, make us feel not so bad?
Yeah, well, I mean, remember that part of this whole thing is the active versus passive participation.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So a passive mainstream viewing of a movie is kind of the way, you know, we often are, well, what the way well, we're expected to watch movies.
Movie
that's the way most of us watch
is
movies.
It's quite passive.
It is.
Yes.
Whereas cult classics, you know, the active part is the fun part.
Yes.
So maybe being active in part means you're kind of actively seeing the behind the scenes and the weirdness and the actual motor gears of it happening.
Yeah. Huh.
So speaking of how active it is.
Okay.
So there's actual controversy about what makes a cult classic in terms of its active participation.
Okay.
So dressing up as a character in the movie and going to the movie is considered a cult classic, you know, element.
Yeah, which is why Rocky Horror Picture Show is probably the gold star of cult classics.
That's right. However, nowadays you see Star Trek fans showing up in Star Trek uniforms, mm-hmm. you know. You see Star Wars people showing up with lightsabers and dressed as all kinds of things.
That's right.
So Comic-Con in a nutshell.
Yes, and Lord of the Rings, same thing, right? But they're all current and they're all mainstream.
Okay.
So what does that mean? Does that make them a cult classic because they encourage active participation?
Or are they cult classics in waiting?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Because Star Wars kind of works and Star Trek kind of works because they have the original series that people can keep referring to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Star Wars would work because Episode 4 was originally released a long time ago.
Yeah, like when I was a kid. I know it's not like 100 years ago or anything.
A while ago.
In the Stone Age.
The Stone Age.
In the Stone Age before smartphones.
Yeah. But it wasn't a cult classic then.
No.
It's only been like in the rebirth of some of these series, people in the new generation are now like, oh my gosh, this actually happened before. I'm going to go back and check the original series or whatever.
But I think that it will live on to be a cult classic because of the fundamental storytelling formula they used.
Yeah.
Chosen, overcome evil, you know.
But that welcomes you to be part of the club.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Comic-Con phenomenon. That's a great phrase.
Comic-Con phenomenon.
Yeah.
That could be a blog.
That's so good.
But that dressing up and going and seeing, like, just being in a room full of 1,000 fans of the same show.
Oh, more than 1,000.
Or, well, yeah.
But would you do it? Would you go to a Comic-Con and dress up and be all like,
well, I don't know. Like, I'm a big Trekkie. You know that.
Because
my, you know, like, I really love Star Trek stuff, but I'm not sure
that
I want to dress as a Klingon and go to a convention where I'd be in a crowd of people and have to line up for 3 hours just to look at Jonathan Frakes, right? So I'm not sure I could do that.
Yeah, so when do you cross over? Because, like, I think the teenagers of my world would all love to go.
Yeah,
me too. And would all get dressed up.
I mean,
would you get dressed up?
I would.
You would totally get 100%. Dressed up? Whereas I would be weirded out by that.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, I like the show, but I can't think of a single show I would dress up for.
Well,
except maybe Pippi Longstocking, because I loved her. But
you dress up at Halloween.
Yeah.
So what would be, like, this is what I'm kind of wondering. Like, what is the permission that we need to do this rather than just thinking of it as a Halloween thing?
But even you can extend it to, like, hockey's a cult. And do you show up all, you know, with your face painted and your jersey on? That's not the kind of fan I am. Like, I think there's different kinds of
different
fanship.
Levels of fandom. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
fandom.
Well, then
fanship?
That's something to explore then too, right? Then the cult classic is made by the fans. And so it's the kind of fans you attract that makes it something that either they feel happy participating in and dressing up, or
and
if
they
it doesn't
carry the story forward.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm a super lame fan because I wouldn't carry the story forward necessarily.
You're not the one that would go to midnight screenings.
No. Well, maybe Monty Python. I could carry that forward. But
out of the past, all the Marvel movies for the past, like, 5 years, I've gone to the first release or first screening of it each time, every time.
And
Star Wars Episode 7.
Yes, yeah. But would you dress up?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Did you dress up as Captain America?
I did not.
What did you dress up as?
I didn't dress up because it was just a movie one and it's not many people there. But if I went to see it in New York, for example, like one of the big midnight releases...
You would have?
I would have.
Yeah.
And who would you have dressed up as?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
Not Iron Man. That would be too hard to sit down after.
True.
But then, okay, let's see. Does this translate to, like, the birth of modern theater? Did people go to Shakespeare plays dressed up as Romeo or Juliet?
That's a good question.
Or Shylock or...
Yeah.
Or
well, except Ophelia, they are or... kind of not really any different than they looked already.
In a way, the dressing up part is... quite modern.
Yeah.
Quite recent.
Well, and it happens with science fiction, right? Like, I think that the more cult classics are science fiction than any other genre.
Yes.
And so you've got costumes to dress up in. They don't look like us, mm-hmm. right? So the alien phenomenon is... I mean, when did we start figuring out aliens? When did we start thinking that we're being invaded all the time?
I don't know. Is that what we're thinking, or is it that we're just curious about what else there is?
Well, but we had to have hit a point in our history where we looked up to the stars and went, wait a minute, mm-hmm. if our sun is a star, right? And then we start imagining all these things. Mm-hmm. So the storytelling changed. Mm-hmm. You know, Romeo and Juliet was replaced by, I don't know, Paul.
Paul?
Have you not seen Paul?
No.
What? Good. You haven't seen Paul?
Paul.
That's awesome.
Paul.
That's it? P-A-U-L, Paul.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a alien movie.
Oh.
Jinx, you and me a Coke.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, I think that's just curiosity.
Yeah.
And I think that, say, in Shakespeare's time, let's face it, they didn't have running water or flushing toilets or central heat. They didn't have time to think about what else there is. They're just trying to get through the day, right? Plagues and, you know, fevers and, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's almost like a modern.
You don't.
It's a first world problem to go. Hey, I know what's up there, right?
Space monkeys.
Yeah, that was as much.
Oh, Planet of the Apes.
Oh yeah,
Space Monkeys.
Probably the original.
Well, that's actually that's another good one because
Godzilla
reboot again.
Yeah,
I don't know if reboots are just about making money or if it's really about the fact that there are fans that have grown up and now have the purse strings of these movie companies and say, I know what I'm going to do. Yeah. I'm going to redo that.
And I guess there's only so many narratives, right?
Yeah.
Just like English lit class.
Yeah.
Man's humanity to man, man's inhumanity to man. Pick one. Go.
Did you see Harold and Maude?
Yes. Long, long time ago.
Yeah. So that is a cult classic.
Yes.
It's a whole generation is discovering it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real groundbreaking thing. And maybe that's another element, is that it's got to be groundbreaking.
Yes.
It's got to be like the first of its thing.
Yeah. I wonder what the next cult classic will be.
I know it kind of feels like we'll never break any more ground, right? Because all ideas have been done.
Exactly.
But no.
Oh, no. But there has to be.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah. It's true.
So what about Eraserhead? Did you see Eraserhead?
Yes.
What?
Oh, man. That was
it's
so
disturbing,
twisted.
Though, isn't it?
It's so disturbing.
Yeah.
It is awful. It actually... It bothered me, I think, for years.
Yeah.
Maybe it still bothers me.
But that was sort of early 80s, mid-80s. Yeah.
Yeah, 85.
Yeah. Oof. But that was before. So, and again, another thing I think is the power to repeat. So if you think about when we were, say, Matthew's age, you would go to the movie and you would see it once.
Yeah.
Maybe twice.
That's true, I suppose, because it costs a lot of money and it's only in the movie theater for 5 days.
And you didn't have access to it. It's not like you could even go to you could go rent a VHS somewhere, maybe, if your parents had a VCR.
Yeah.
And
that's how.
And so the whole distribution thing.
Like, yeah.
I saw Grease once. I saw Star Wars once.
Yeah.
So I had that one time. But then, you know, there were fans with toys.
There were fans who had the money who went to Star Wars every night when it was playing.
Sure.
The first time because they were so dedicated right off the bat.
Right off the bat. Yeah. But I'm just saying, so Eraserhead, I might have seen it once.
Yeah.
35 years ago.
Yeah. 35 years? Is that really how? Oh, okay.
Or 30 years.
That's really scary.
So I don't have the sort of. Whereas now, if I wanted to see Eraserhead, I could watch it every night.
Yeah.
over and over and over and over and over again. That's how before we didn't have this. Just go look it up. Or
yeah. But you know, that's how Clockwork Orange kind of became a cult classic, is because it was pulled from mainstream theaters in the UK. And so a very, you know, a number of grubby, broken up VCR, VHS tapes circulated among all of the teenagers so that they could see it.
So they could see it because it was pulled.
Yeah.
Because it was so dense. Yeah, sometimes so scarcity creates.
That was a big deal for, The Interview?
Yeah.
They James Franco, they pulled that from all theaters around the world.
Because they
except
were
except for two.
Yeah.
A theater in Toronto and a theater here.
Yeah, we got it here.
We got it here.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, one of two theaters in the world that ever got it.
Wow. Salmon Arm is special for lots of reasons.
Yes.
But that became a big deal because no one was allowed to see it.
Yeah. And so suddenly when you're not allowed.
Yeah.
And that is a young person instinct. What do you mean I can't do that?
Well, then I'll try even harder.
Watch me.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Barbarella?
Did you see Barbarella? Yes. Also disturbing.
Oh, well, yeah, but I know, but funny. So funny.
Yeah.
When you look back on it now, it's hilarious. Aliens, again, right?
Yeah.
So... I think the alien element is an important one.
But I mean, I think now we can, the cult classics are sort of, again, a cultural reference to the power of 11 because they're available so widely.
Yeah.
2 points if you know what that reference is.
Stranger Things.
Oh.
No, sorry. I just, 11.
Spinal Tap.
Oh, Spinal Tap. Another cult classic.
Yeah, which was probably one of the first mainstream mockumentaries.
Yes, yes.
Right? Do you know what Spinal Tap is?
No.
This is Spinal Tap.
Is Spaceballs a mockumentary?
It's
making fun of Star Wars completely.
What would Spaceballs be?
It's kind of, well, not a mockumentary. It's just a
But it's a mock
spoof.
Something. It's a spoof. Spoof. Thank you.
Spoof. Yeah.
No, this is Spinal Tap is about a British rock band and a pretend documentary about them and all their quirky characteristics. And I think it's the guitarist or the bass player says most amplifiers go up to 10, but he's so special, his goes to 11. So when you say, I'm going to take it to 11, that means going beyond what's expected.
Beyond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas so now I think because it's so accessible, we see this sort of like proliferation of, I mean, maybe that's why Comic-Con's happening, because kids have access to this all the time.
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of, I mean, maybe that's the reason why, for TV shows, because you can watch an entire series from beginning to end. You know, in Conan O'Brien's words, if you have a non-fatal ski accident, you can pretty much, you know, catch up on all the TV shows that you're supposed to be watching. But with, you know, in our day, pre-Netflix, you had to go to those midnight screenings and just go every night. So that was a different kind of dedication.
Yeah.
Right?
And you had to know where it was. You had to know how much it was. You had to figure out how you're going to get there. The logistics were much more complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no Facebook.
Oh, we had a tough life. Oh my gosh, you guys have it easy.
The struggle.
No Facebook.
That's
No reminders. You have an event tonight.
Yeah.
Rocky Horror Picture Show, midnight, Samar Classic. You had to know someone who knew that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Today on Artscape, we're talking about the cult classic.
That's right. And we're going to do a little bit of cult classic trivia.
Yeah, trivia. Let's see how we do it remembering good lines.
That's right.
We have to think of them as we go, though.
Okay, as we go, right?
Okay, but here's, so how about this one? That's what I love about teenage girls. I keep getting older, but they stay the same age.
Matthew?
Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
We already talked about this earlier.
I know.
Dazed and Confused.
Did we talk about it?
We did.
Oh, maybe before the show.
Yeah.
No, we talked Dazed about it on.
On the show?
We did.
Well,
so.
Hoser.
Yeah.
Hoser.
Oh, Bob and Doug.
I know. I love that. I love it when my dad calls me a hoser and then I call my kids hosers. I love that.
Hoser.
Yeah. A.
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 Do we really say A that much?
We do sometimes.
I think we do. Mike Myers actually was on CBC last week and Wendy Mesley was saying, we don't really say A that much. And he's like, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, we do. We don't really have an accent. Yes, you have. We have an accent.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just don't think we see it.
Well, of course not.
Well, I think that maybe we don't say A so much. We just put a question mark at the end. Nice weather. Nice weather we're having. A?
Oh, yeah. We all say A,
How's
but we
your
just
day?
Don't do it.
Question mark.
We just don't do it consciously.
No, we don't do it consciously.
Yeah.
But there's lots of Canadian
it's in our blood.
Cult classics. Bob and Doug, of course. The sweater, you could say the sweater.
The
hockey sweater is a cult classic.
It is. And I guess that, you know, that's another thing too, is the graphic novel, the animated series. There's all,
Moon is thought to be a cult.
Yeah.
Classic.
And so I mean, it's cross genre for sure.
Yeah. And
it's
up with the word cult as if it's dark and disturbing. It can be a cult classic without those things.
It can be. Yeah. But we just call them classics.
Yeah. Well, Dark and Disturbing, Trailer Park Boys, totally a cult classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, there's I guess we're trying to make it, trying to make sense of it, trying to figure out what makes a cult classic, because cult classics make money.
Yes.
Directors are kind of interested in making their film a cult classic right off the bat, right? And so they're trying to dissect this and figure out what makes it happen, but there is no predicting.
No.
I don't think you can build one.
No, I don't think you can say, today we're going to make a cult classic.
Yeah.
Go.
It's like a viral video.
Well, yeah, except there's probably something happening now that will eventually be a cult classic.
Yeah.
I wouldn't begin to know what that is.
But I mean, we can say, like, we can look back on them and see a pattern, but there's just no recipe. I don't think you can, because I guess it's like modern art too, right? Every step of the way in our history, whatever they are making that day was modern art, but you don't know until you're decades past it, maybe centuries past it, what was important to the day because of the reference to what was going on in the society, you know, wars, leaders, right? Plagues, death, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. We won't know what's important to our society until years later.
I don't know. Could we argue there might not be any more cult classics because everybody's so...
I don't think you can argue that.
But everybody has at their disposal their own tools. They can curate their own experience. They can curate their own game.
It can be an isolated event now.
Yeah.
So, maybe that's why Comic-Con has become a big thing, because we're watching these movies and TV shows in the privacy of our home. We're not participating in these midnight screenings anymore. So now we need some place to gather with other fans, right? Because we need that. It's the connection.
Yeah. Be curious to know what the most current cult classic is, because almost everyone we've talked about goes back to like the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s.
Yeah.
Are there any 90s and 2000 cult classics?
Well,
that aren't necessarily tied back to a book or a series or a movie from the...
Well, that's the thing, right? There's some movies that can go back to a book, but like Lord of the Rings, it's just, you know, the book has been out for decades. So you can say it's cult because of, you know, because of the original, like the first generation that encountered it.
And your daughters love the Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But again, that goes back to like the 1900s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
early 1900s.
I don't know. Like maybe there is no new ideas and everything's going to go back to a book at some point, because unless we talk about Stranger Things.
Well, I think Stranger Things the new cult? Do you know Stranger Things,
Matthew? I know it. I haven't watched it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
We've already watched the whole series twice.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's set in the 80s. So it's a different kind of, like, now the generation, like, I can't believe it, but my generation has, the next generation are adults.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Which is weird now for me.
Yeah.
Right?
So the question is, who's the next Doctor Who, right?
Yeah. But I just mean, like, right now there are adults who look at, you know, our time of growing up and being a teenager and young adults as like a previous generation. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they don't have an experience of the 80s. They weren't born yet.
No, I know.
So
too bad,
because
it was awesome.
It was.
But Spicoli, remember? Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Or Bueller.
Bueller.
Although was 80s, Bueller. Like late 80s. Bueller.
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 Have you seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
No.
Oh, you need to see it.
You have to see if you... Oh.
Why?
Because it's so good.
Yeah.
Is it really?
And guess what he does, Matthew?
What does he do?
He breaks the fourth wall.
Ooh.
I know. Because we had that...
It was like a mockumentary about a kid who takes a day off of school. You could be having Ferris Bueller Day right now.
This is totally...
But it's going to end in a parade.
No. And get
the destruction of a very expensive sports car. So if that doesn't happen, then it's not quite it.
I hope so.
But everyone is safe in the end.
That's true.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure.
Parades aren't always the safest thing.
Well, this one was,
The parade was safe, even the destruction of the car.
But the standard is really high. to have a day off school. And
yeah, and that made the rest of us feel like we don't have a life.
Yeah, like, not epic.
No.
No. All I, the worst thing, you know, I'd go to the mall and eat at McDonald's.
I just remember one of the favorite scenes is when the sister at the end is making out with that drug guy.
Yeah.
Who's Charlie Sheen. Yeah. Like, it's just so funny watching these guys as young teenagers. It's hilarious. And that's actually some of the other really great ones.
Totally,
like,
have to watch Ferris Bueller's
Day Off. Fight Club. Right. Fight Club is another one.
Yes. Fight Club.
Yeah.
Rule number one of Fight Club. Don't talk about Fight Club.
That's funny they know that. It just astounds me what, and I think they get it from these, what I would call as a mom, trashy cartoons like Family Guy and
Rude.
The Simpsons. But they get all these cultural references, and I'm like, well, I guess that's the trade-off.
Yeah.
At least they're kind of connected to the grown-ups.
You yeah. know?
And
yeah.
if you can throw in a Monty Python joke or a,
yeah.
or so a Spinal Tap.
One of the best.
Self-referential.
Thing, yeah. What is it? Community on yes. Netflix?
Yes.
The whole thing. It's just a bunch of references to the whole thing.
Okay.
There are two characters, Troy and Abed.
Yeah.
And they're a complete movie freak, so everything they say is related to a movie.
Interesting.
Everything.
Well, and I thought that was sort of a shallow...
It's pretty awesome.
...sitcom, but who knew?
Did you see True Romance?
Yes.
Yeah.
But again, I would have seen it once 30 years ago.
So. Yeah, yeah. Because for some reason,
I
think... I
need to go on the 80s...
I see things
retreat.
In, yeah, yeah, we do. But it's... That's one movie that I think back on. I see something in a movie and I think they did that in True Romance, mm-hmm. right? Like, and so, and I don't think True Romance has reached cult classic status, and I haven't met a lot of people who've seen it, but I kind of see other filmmakers
reference it.
Yeah. So,
so I guess that's the, one of the keys then is to make sure you refer back to previous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not just self-referential, yeah, so, but to your same genre, but to all sort of film history.
Mm-hmm. And in a sense, we all want to do the next thing, the next big thing. But really, the next big thing is always a combination
just
of previous
things,
but only done a tiny bit better, or in a bit of a different way. Like, what's the zombie movie with the British guys?
Oh, I know this.
Not like
Something of the Dead,
Night of the Living Dead.
No, I've seen
Evil
it.
Dead.
No,
no, it's not even. No, it's like Bob of the Dead or something.
No. I gotta think about this.
Okay,
same guys who made Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's two British guys. It's they're
so
like
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead. Yeah.
And they're going to the pub and having a beer. So but good. Let's finish our beer first, and then we'll fight the zombies. That's like a zombie movie from the 50s, only done better.
Yeah.
And quite funny. At it's first, good. I was like, I'm not watching that.
It is very.
And then
funny.
I watched it. I was like, I'm so glad I did that. It was hilarious.
So funny.
Yeah. And I think. Well, the other thing we don't talk about is most cult classics have humor built in.
Yeah.
So to me, I think the humor piece is super important.
It is.
We need to laugh. It's good for us.
It is. It's healthy.
And it helps us overcome fear and, you know, it pumps our body full of, what's my favorite word? Cortisone? No.
Not cortisone. The other. Endorphins.
Dopamine.
Dopamine.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Dopamine. It's all about the dopamine.
It's all about it.
I'm sure it's more. There's more to it than that. But, and we like to be able to laugh together. It's kind of hard to laugh by yourself.
Well, it's true. It's a connection thing.
Yeah.
I mean, do you've ever sat alone and watched a movie and laughed and laughed? Like, out loud?
Sometimes.
I have. A lot.
Yeah. It depends on the movie.
Wait, Mom, how often do you hear me just laughing upstairs?
Yeah. I know. All and YouTube now is like just cornucopia of laughter.
I know.
And I hear the boys with their headphones on sometimes just break out laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do it too, but it's awkward. Like sometimes I'll see something on Facebook and it was so funny and the rest of the day I just catch myself laughing out loud.
Yeah, no, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
This ladder is really empty.
Oh. There's this picture of a, oh my gosh. Anyway, these are how things spread. There's just a picture of one of those sign boards, you know, where you put the letters in.
Yeah.
And with a ladder kind of slightly sideways. And it says, this ladder is really on, you have to see it. And then, and for some reason, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was funny. Laugh by myself, but it is
awkward.
You laughed
a lot. You laughed for 3 days.
For 3 days. It's much better to laugh with people.
I think you need a little
vacation. You called me and Sam out of our room just to come and see what
I have to do that. I'll say, oh my gosh, you have to come and see this.
And I go, I look at it, so stare funny. There for a couple of seconds and go back to my room.
But the collective laugh is important.
Yeah. Well, and you know what's interesting now is, are you familiar with the film Reefer Madness?
Yes.
So that was put out by a church group, right? To show that... That marijuana is bad.
Did the absolute opposite.
It does. It's a stoner cult classic.
Yes.
Like, they watch it, they laugh and laugh and laugh, because it is actually quite funny.
This is what happens when you take a marijuana.
A marijuana.
Have you seen those comparisons? It's an egg. And it's like, this is what happens when you take a marijuana, and they throw the egg on the ground, and it just...
fries.
All the stoners are asking if they have, how they can have their egg. Over easy, scrambled, turn it into an omelet.
Oh my goodness. And I didn't know that about Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's an accidental cult.
Exactly. Classic. Like, it's propaganda.
Yeah.
It was made, you know, to scare people. And yeah. Now it's like the most hilarious thing to watch. So yeah, accidental comedy.
Yeah. You know, my favorite cult classic is...
what?
Is the dancing hot dog at the drive-in theater. I mean, it's a commercial.
You mean the one where the hot dog flips and then goes into the bun, which is kind of alarming.
Yes.
To actually watch it go into the bun. Yeah. You're like, ew.
Ew. And the popsicles and the ice cream treats and the, 3 minutes till the movie. That's See, my absolute favorite thing to watch.
If that's going to be your cult classic, you have to start dressing as a hot dog and jumping around out there.
Ooh, that could be my Halloween costume next year.
We're already thinking about next Halloween.
I am.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to go as...
there's only 364 days until next Halloween.
Yeah, I want to go as the cast of Gilligan's Island one time. Another cult classic.
The entire cast?
Yeah.
All together?
Yeah, well, you need, like, the people.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Friends.
Like a team outfit.
You need friends.
Yeah. Oh, you go... yeah. You go as the cast of Friends, too.
Yeah. I wanted to do a Star Trek thing, to be the whole team of Star Trek, but, yeah. I mean, if there's four of us.
Every
once in a while, we pull out Saatchi's little... a pink Star Trek shirt, because we did dress as Star Trek one year when Saatchi was a baby.
Yes.
And so we have her little pink Star Trek shirt with a little insignia on it and everything. So we pull it
there
out and
no
it's like
babies
this big.
On Star Trek though.
No, but you know, we had to make one.
Me it's and some of my friends on Halloween, we all went as different doctors from Doctor Who.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. That's right.
That was pretty good.
Wow. Yeah.
Awesome. The 11th Doctor, the 10th Doctor, the 9th Doctor, and the 3rd Doctor.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I guess the cult ultimately is a gift from the past to the future.
Oh, I love it. A gift from the past to the future. And now...
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, today's dramatic moment is in reference to a blast from the past in the music industry.
Mamma mia.
You already know.
Oh, boy.
ABBA is reuniting.
Oh, my gosh. The white pantsuit is coming back. I can see it.
It's the Swedish pop superstars. Yeah. After, can you believe, how long has it been? How long has it been since they were a thing?
Well, I don't know, 70s? 30s? 40 years?
50 years.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
They had an appearance together. They performed together in June, last June, to celebrate their 50th anniversary.
50.
Yes. Oh. It has been more than 30 years since they split up.
Yes.
So, you know, for some of us, it's only been 30 years. But but from the time they got together, 50 years.
50 years.
Yeah. Wow. They all look pretty fantastic, too.
Don't they?
Yeah. So they're getting...
is it true they didn't even speak English?
I don't know.
They just kind of memorized the...
could be.
Like, phonetically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems to me perfectly doable.
Or could be an urban myth.
Did you know that in Rocky Horror Picture Show, the guy that played Rocky actually didn't speak or sing any of his lines?
Oh, really?
They're all dubbed.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I'm no doubt they're singing. I just don't think they spoke much. I think they kind of sang like phonetically.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because I've learned how to sing Frère Jacques. I don't speak a word of French. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're getting together again for a project, but it's not just an ordinary, like, you know, what do they call those tours when they get together again? The reunification tour or whatever?
They're actually... reunion tour?
Reunion tour. Yeah. Not just your average reunion tour.
No.
They are doing a virtual reality project.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's some kind of new experience. The details aren't even released yet, but they're getting together to give the new generation a whole new ABBA experience.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because they want to achieve cult classic status.
Yes.
Right.
And they kind of did with Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, maybe Mamma Mia went... I bet you when they were approached about that, I wonder if they thought, that'll never fly.
Yeah. because you didn't think it was going
to
fly.
No, I went thinking, oh, prepare to be horrified. And I loved it. Have you seen Mamma Mia?
No.
No. No, maybe it's not really a boy thing.
It's not old enough yet. It's only like, what, 2008,
yeah.
I think? So it's not old enough to be cult classic, but I think eventually that could be something people go to theaters and sing along. And,
yeah, and we sort of, with so long ago, we left the people who sing in movies, like in the 50s.
Yeah.
Right?
That never happens anymore.
No, but it does in Mamma Mia, which is why I thought it's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
But the, you know, friends are going, I'm like, okay, fine.
You start to wonder if it's just Meryl Streep.
Maybe.
Because she did Into the Woods, too.
Yes.
Maybe she's like, I want to sing more maybe. In movies.
Or she's done it all. She needs to try something different. But I have to say, it really worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, totally surprised me. Because they kind of broke the rules, but just enough.
Yeah.
It's kind of knowing how far to break the rules.
I know, because at first you think, like, a musical can't work unless every word is music, right? Yeah. Because it's weird to break into song when you're in the middle of a conversation. So you got to do it very carefully. Yeah. It's a skill.
See, whereas I didn't like Les Mis on the screen.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, interesting.
I couldn't get into it.
Oh, wow.
But Mamma Mia, I was able to, enjoy it. Yeah.
Lovely, Miz.
Yes.
I saw it stage lovely Miz, and screen.
But I couldn't deal with the screen.
Yeah. Well, we saw the screen first.
Yeah.
And then we saw the theater production. Mm-hmm. And I was like blown away. So maybe if it had been the other way around, I might not have been.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, there's this idea of music, you know, like Glee, the Glee show.
Yeah.
And all the Gleeks, you know, that wasn't really on paper. It wasn't supposed to work.
Yeah.
But it did.
Yeah.
And it's still working.
Is Glee still a thing? Because Glee is groundbreaking. Yes. It would probably eventually achieve some kind of
some
cult status
because
it was groundbreaking in the sense that it took things that we are not supposed to talk about. I was just having this conversation with Patty again from Selmer. She's very astute about all these kinds of things because, of course, you get to go to the movies all the time when you're on the board. But we're just talking about how Glee brought to the forefront a whole lot of things that you're not really supposed to talk about. And it really pushed, you know, pushed people to talk openly about, you know, everything
all
from
sorts of things.
Gay sex to, I mean, just everything.
Yeah.
So, I think that was a groundbreaking series. Mm-hmm.
And it will achieve cult status.
Yeah.
Probably.
Are you sure about that?
Well, I don't know.
But there's the music part of this, right?
That's the thing. Nobody knows, right?
Yeah, it's still too new.
Yeah.
But the music thing, so we've seen the Beatles come back again and again and again because their music was the complexity and their genius abilities
unbeatable.
Just stand the test of time. So every generation rediscovers them, no problem. But in terms of other musical bands, like there's certain songs that have achieved that.
Yes.
Like Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, but not necessarily whole bands entire history of.
Mm-hmm. And again, now artists are releasing a song necessarily, not like two-sided albums.
Yeah.
And there's stuff on B-side albums that are far more classic than what was released on the A side.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because you can't tell what your fans are going to like.
That's right.
It's like, it's just a big crapshoot. Mm-hmm.
And so what you producers. Might think the winning formula might have nothing to do. There's probably tons of stories about B side. And now like records are coming back, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Matthew's interested.
Yeah. There's a record store in Kelowna called The Underground. Have you been there?
I have not.
It's cool.
Cool.
Yeah. It's underground.
And record players are back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The lady at that store says that 80% of her customers are under 21.
Wow.
Yeah. So we know.
And it's a different listening experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny but then, how. I don't know. It's sort of, is it just trendy or is it classic? And that's the decision.
Hip.
Time makes that decision. Well, we don't.
Exactly. And the same thing, like every time we have a new media, something, you know, people think, well, then that's the end of whatever the previous media is, right? Just like when TVs came, they thought radio
was
dead.
Radio's dead.
Yeah.
It's
and here
not.
We are.
Yeah, we're
sitting
still
here. Right now. So every time we think that all it ends up happening is that we reinvent the thing before and make it into another purpose.
I'm quite sure the 8-track tape is not coming back.
That's true.
Because it wasn't the best piece of technology.
But that's not... the technology part will die off depending on, like just our ability to renew and make things more efficient and less complicated, right? But the the thing, like the media itself, like radio compared to TV, compared to computers, digital, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. That, I mean, we keep integrating and keep technologically advancing those things, right? So if the thing, if the technology wasn't enough to hold it together, then it dies out.
Yes.
But if you can continue to evolve, if that thing can continue to evolve, then it seems to have staying power.
Yeah.
It just gets reused for something else.
I think it's the...
Or to fulfill
how sophisticated the tech was at the time. Like, if you think about records, right? So, Matthew, why do you want a record player and records?
I don't know. I just wanted one all of a sudden. I actually have no idea.
You have no idea.
I have no idea.
The sound quality. Did you know that, like, when you digitalize and compress music,
yeah.
you're not getting everything that the band did.
Yes, the purest form of music and just the technology of dropping the needle on the... Right? It's... So it's part of the experience, right? So there's generations of kids who never had that experience. So I would imagine once you see it, you're like, whoa, cool.
Actually, yeah, that makes sense. Because I just saw someone on the internet who had one. It's like, hey, that's cool. I want one.
Yeah. Right? Whereas now, I mean, I look at it as a convenience. I don't have, and again, 30 years ago when I, you know, was a teenager, 30 some years ago when I was a teenager, albums were expensive and delicate mm-hmm. and stereos were expensive and delicate and mm-hmm. so typically it wasn't like my record or my stereo, it was like somebody's older brother's stereo, and like God forbid you took it the album out, took it out of the thing, put it on if you scratched it.
I know.
Well, or broke it or damaged the needle.
Yeah.
Or
there was a certain amount of terror with using every one of your, especially your favorite album.
Yes.
Like, it was treated with like super kid gloves.
And vulnerability and room temperature. And
I remember walking, it might have been one of my
and
first
so the
parties,
reward was...
walking with my stack of albums to go to this girl's house.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it started to rain, and I was terrified because, of course, album art was critically important,
yes.
so I'm protecting my albums to make sure I don't get raindrops on them. Like, it just seems like, I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's about exchange of value. So if you go through all that trouble to get the album, and then to listen to the album, right?
Yeah.
Whereas now you just a couple... Boom,
well, and
boom,
now
boom,
you mix
on
it.
Your iPod and you're good to go.
Because we used to have to make mixtapes out of your album so mm-hmm. that you'd get a mix, right? Or else you'd buy a KTEL record.
Oh, yeah. Sound Explosion 1972.
Woo.
It was the best one. Maybe 1973. Sonny and Cher, Don Marie.
But that was somebody else curating our music.
Chicago.
Matthew's like, what?
Yeah.
But so, somebody else curated our music, decided what was popular, put it all together on a mashup, and then said, here you go, now you can buy this album and you don't have to buy 12 other albums.
Yeah, yeah, it was like a playlist from the year.
Yeah, now you can just go download a playlist.
Yeah, and you can pick.
Although I'm that guy who makes the playlist.
Okay.
Like,
well,
my
in the old
YouTube,
days, KTEL used to make the playlist.
Like, I throw playlists together on YouTube and then I have 10,000, 20,000 views.
Well, there you go.
Well, aren't you the popular YouTube host?
I am.
Okay, then.
I am
so great.
Okay, I'm so
no,
great.
I threw a playlist together one day just because it was music I liked. I went and checked it a while back. It's 20,000 views.
Well,
maybe your friend just looked at it 18,000 times.
It could be.
Probably.
Could be.
But that's pretty exciting.
Or somebody's cat just kept bing, bing. No, no, but again, those are tools we didn't have.
Yeah.
Right?
And now that you can just play YouTube and find somebody's mix so that you don't actually need to buy them anymore, that's a whole different ball game now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is. And we could spend a whole show talking about how artists are compensated and are they compensated enough. And But that's not today's topic. I just think it's funny, you know, everything old is new again. I know that's a...
Well, and we've talked
cliche.
About how that works in visual art, too, right?
Yeah.
That everybody thinks there's no new ideas left, and then something else happens.
And then somebody does something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even though we're looking at this as, okay, these are classics that keep coming back, and we appreciate them more, and then the self-referential idea,
mm-hmm.
it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The more that you take other things and pull it together and reform it, it's the more you're creating new ideas.
Yes.
So it's okay to do that. It's okay to keep pulling the old in.
It's just one big cultural mashup.
Yeah.
Right. And the important piece is to try and stay current on what people who aren't like you are doing.
Yeah. And the challenge.
It challenges us to see what's coming next.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so rather than say, well, in my day,
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Stop looking back. Yeah. Start looking forward.
Yeah. And then start to see the patterns, because it really does come down to a shared narrative and cult as a culture.
Yes.
So
cult as culture.
Exactly. And speaking of shared narratives.
Yes.
Which is what we do here on Voice of the Shuswap, is share stories and ideas with our community. Remember to that community radio is not free.
Yeah.
It's free to listen to.
But it's not free to produce.
It's not free to produce.
Yeah.
So people give up their time. There's an office to run and lights to keep on and heat to pay for. Mm-hmm. And staff, you know, yep. Very modest team of paid people here. So, mm-hmm. And equipment. This equipment isn't free.
Yeah.
We can't do it on our iPod. Yep. Pod.
So keep the music playing.
Yes. So we're encouraging you to donate $100 to keep the music playing. And it's just like PBS, you know, a little sponsorship drive. It's important.
Yep. Yep.
And
you get an hour of music.
And you get an hour of music.
Pick your genre.
Yeah.
And even record a little message.
That's right.
It's fun.
Yeah. Matthew, what would your hour be of music?
The who now?
If you were to have an hour of music.
An hour long
here, like, on Voice of the Shuswap, what would you pick?
Who would I pick?
Yeah.
Eminem.
Eminem. There
an
we go.
An hour of Eminem.
Yeah.
Well, Dolores picked an hour of Leonard Cohen.
Perfect.
Yeah. I don't know when that's playing. Sometime soon, I think.
I was going to pick classical music, but then I changed my mind, didn't I? I was going to do like the Canadian sing-song.
Oh, no. That'd be fun too. Hey, before we sign off.
And for those of you who have donated, because I know it's happening, thank you for your support.
Yes, yes. Because it's all fun and important, and it keeps us connected.
Absolutely.
It does. For arts events information, check participate on our website at salmonarmartcenter.ca. And keep out there and keep connecting and enjoy and collaborate and have fun.
All right.
See you next time.
Bye now.
It's over.